Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Michigan Golf Podcast. Thanks for tuning back in, as I have been super stoked to get this episode out to you guys. If you tuned in towards the end of last week, I had my first live guest on the pod, and that was a good friend of mine, my boss, and my partner over the weekend. His name is Paul. We teamed up to play in our first event together on the Mitten Golf Tour. And if you didn't get a chance to listen, jump back an episode and check that out. We talked about the Meadows Golf Club over at Grand Valley State University, where the event was hosted. We talked about our expectations, not just for ourselves, but for the competition, kind of what we thought might win the event. And then we just kind of talked about what we might expect from the Mitten Golf Tour. Neither of us have ever played with them before, so this was a cool opportunity to get out and experience something new. And so last week, we put out a precap, and now we're back for the recap. So hang tight. I've kind of spoiler alert here. Paul was invited back. We played well. We had an awesome time. And so I did invite him back for a recap. So again, stick it out through this next ad. And then when you guys get back, we'll have Paul on and we'll talk about how that tournament went. All right, guys, thanks for sticking it out through the ad again. And as promised, if you listened to the last episode of the podcast, we had my partner Paul on as we talked about previewing the Mitten Golf Tours event at the Meadows. And I know we kind of joked about how that event went would kind of dictate whether or not Paul would be invited back. And thankfully, he is here with us today. So
I'm here.
If that gives you any inclination of how it went, it went well. We had a really good time. But we wanted to jump on and do a quick recap and just, one, talk about the Meadows, how the course was, how it played, how we played, kind of whether or not we hit our goals as far as score goes, and then just how we perceive the event and kind of touch on the Mitten Golf Tour and what our experience was like. So Paul, I don't know about you, man, but let's start with the course and kind of how we played.
Yeah, so first off, I'm glad to be back on the pod. I'm glad I was invited back, and I'm glad I'm actually here. So it means we didn't play too bad. But first off, the course I thought was in great condition. We had a little bit of rain on Friday night, and for everybody that's listening, we obviously played on Sunday, so it gave it a little bit of time to dry out. It was still a little wet, but the greens were pretty fast and firm. Mm-hmm. I thought course looked great. Like I said, bunkers were good. We weren't in them too much, but everything looked very well defined. So their grounds crew is doing a phenomenal job there. I thought it was extremely playable. There was a few pins here and there that were definitely interesting. Nothing unfair, but definitely a few that were challenging and spots that I hadn't seen in a while.
Yeah.
That had a nice little wrinkle to it. I mean, it's a scramble, so I get it.
Yeah. I mean, good hole locations overall, and I agree with you that we had 2 inches of rain is what I kind of got out at our place, just north of the Meadows, and I was pleasantly surprised. The greens were still quick. I mean, they were smooth and they were quick, and even in the fairways, the ball was bouncing, which was, I thought, pretty impressive for having that substantial rain just a few short days beforehand.
Yeah, that's one thing I can't stress enough. The greens were great. If you put it on a line that you wanted, it stayed on that line for the most part. I mean, towards the end of the day, people have been walking around and you'd get a bump here or there, but yeah. Greens were great.
Yeah, I think at least me, I could have maybe picked a few better lines to roll my putts on.
Yeah, that always does help.
On some holes, but other than that, that was good. But let's, before we kind of get into the little bit more about the course and kind of how we played overall, but this was your first tournament in quite a while, and although it was a two-man scramble, I mean, this was still a competitive atmosphere for you.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've done anything competitive. I think my freshman year of college was the last time I played in any event.
Wow.
In the area, so
you don't have to tell us how long ago that was if you don't
know. That was 15 years ago. I'm cool with that. But no, it for me it was interesting because this was a two-man scramble, and I didn't think I'd have any nerves on that first tee. I'm like, we're teeing off 10, it's a shotgun start, it's easy peasy. But on that first tee box, I don't know about you, but my heart was going a little bit. I had a little bit of those nerves, and more or less focus on make sure you hit the golf ball.
Yeah, I totally agree, and because I've talked on the pod a little bit before about some of the West Michigan Golf Association events I play in, because I still play quite regularly and compete. But still, even going to this Mitten Golf Tour and then knowing that it was a two-person scramble and having less pressure, I kind of think We added a little bit of pressure by doing the pre-cap on the podcast. And I think, because I don't know about you, but I thought it was such a cool experience to get out there. And when the podcast went live on Friday evening, the Mitten Golf Tour recognized it and shot a message our way. And they listened to it, had a couple other competitors that stumbled upon it thanks to the Mitten Golf Tour sharing the podcast on Instagram. And so I got a couple of messages from other competitors, and then those guys subsequently came up and introduced themselves on Sunday morning, and they kind of they knew who we were. And so honestly, and then even on the 10th tee, when the guy that was in the group behind us on 10B came up and said, "Hey man, what do I got to do to get on the podcast?" I thought that was pretty cool. But I mean, we set some expectations for ourselves, so getting out there and having people kind of talk to us, and I felt a little added pressure, that's for sure.
I thought it was cool though. I mean, yeah, we talked about golf for what, 20, 25 minutes, and we talked about the Mitten Tour, and just having people actually recognize that, I thought that was pretty neat. I thought it was cool that people would actually come up and talk to us and just say, "Hey, how's it going?" and "Hey, listen to your pod." And so it was just a neat experience in general.
Yeah, yeah, you were the guy with the hole in one on 5. Yeah, it seemed like people really picked up on that fact on the first podcast. So we almost, or not five, I'm sorry, three.
Yeah, three.
Hole in one on 3. We almost duplicated it, which is pretty cool.
Not we, you.
Yeah, well, you had yours already, so I figured I'd try and pick up where you left off. But yeah, that first hole, we started on 10, and in a two-man scramble, it was nice to get off to a birdie start. That was, I think, really helped set the tone for us to kind of get going on a high note and get some early momentum, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it helped out a lot. We played from the blue tees, so we talked in the last pod that was going to dictate a lot of our shot making and our strategies. So there was a few things that changed for us. First hole, or 10th hole technically, we both hit driver, but I don't know if I would feel as comfortable doing that again after our experience there. But it's what, 360 yards or so,
and yeah.
We talked about the nerves, so neither one of us hit that great of a tee shot off the tee, but it was nice to roll in a birdie. Actually, you made the putt, so that was good to see just one kind of fall, and then we kind of went from there.
Yeah, yeah, because we talked about that kind of in the ahead of time. It's that stretch of 10, 11, 12, 13, kind of being a tougher start. And so to get off to the start that we did and birdie 10 and then to birdie 12 to get 200 through 3 was, I thought, encouraging. That was a big stretch for us to not only get off to a hot start and get some good momentum going, but with the live leaderboard, that was cool to put those numbers up early and kind of see what everybody else was doing using that Golf Genius app. That was my first time doing that. And it's just overall, I mean, getting out the gate smooth and quickly was obviously always key in a scramble. We kind of talked about some inner demons on 12. Thankfully I alluded to in past experiences that I tend to hit the ball down the road on 12, which isn't where you want to be in your own round of golf or in a two-man scramble. But thankfully I split that fairway, and then you knocked that iron shot real close, which gave us a really good look at birdie.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting some of the things that we had talked about previously and how they played out. Like I talked about that second shot on 12. I notoriously do not do well with that. You hit an iron off the tee, so we had 160 in, and we both hit 8-iron, and I didn't catch mine perfect, but it ended up being, what, 12 feet, 10, 12 feet?
Yeah.
So it turned out well.
And you made the putt, too.
And I made the putt, but notoriously that is not what I do on that hole.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to play out a little bit differently than normal.
Yeah, because it is always funny, and that's golf, and a lot of people listening, they understand that too. It's one of those things where if you talk about something, you kind of put that mental image in your head. I mean, whether you're doing it on the course or before you even go play, it's amazing how many things come to fruition when you already kind of put yourself there mentally. And I mean, when you're doing that and to benefit you, obviously, if you've got holes that you love and you know you play well, those become very comfortable holes. And then like for us, 12 wasn't a very comfortable hole, but it was really cool to kind of overcome that and then make a birdie. And that kind of is an interesting start to our round, because I talked about obviously we made the birdie on 10, which was great to get off to a good start, but we birdied 10, we parred 11, and we birdied 12, and we parred 13, And then we birdied 14. So we were kind of on an every other hole basis there for a little while. Mm-hmm. And that kind of continued throughout the round.
Yeah, we never got as hot as we would like to, where you kind of get on a roll and you start birdie, you start seeing them after. We just didn't do that. We, like you mentioned, it was birdie, par, and so yeah, on, pretty much all around.
We never really strung anything together. But 14, that birdie on 14, because that's a long par 5, and we ran from the blue tees, it wasn't quite 600 like we were talking about on the scorecard. But we were close enough to almost get home in two and then just pitch a little wedge in there and make birdie. But while we're talking about that hole, I don't know who they were, but shout out to whoever the team was that eagled that par 5, because that was a heck of an eagle and the only skin of the day. So if you played in Minton Golf Tour events before, and not only do they have some pretty awesome prizes and payouts for first through traditionally fourth in each flight, but we did the skins game, and they had a record number of teams come out for this event. And so the skin pot was just over $1,700. And all I know is if I was that team that made that 3 on that par 5, that's a heck of a payday for a Sunday morning round of golf. Would have liked to be on
the... Wish it was us.
Yeah, would have enjoyed being on the receiving end of that. But still, mad props to them. But then after that birdie, I mean, that's kind of where you and I talked about almost kind of stalling for a minute, because we kind of... I think it was the second shot on what, 15? Even though we were flipping wedges in there from 100 yards, neither of us hit it very close. And, I mean, didn't have great looks at it.
So we changed our strategy a little bit on that hole. I hit iron off the tee. For whatever reason, that tee shot doesn't suit my eye. So I figured we might as well go at the 150 stake and pump one out there. And I put it in the middle of the fairway, so I think it freed you up a little bit, but you bombed a drive. So we were 100 yards out, and we were flipping wedges. And if you're familiar with that hole, the pin looked like it was in the middle front of the green, but it was actually on the left side of the green, left front. And so both of us kind of went at it, and mine turned out to be probably a couple feet left of where it should have been, and it rolled down into a gully to a putt that neither one of us wanted. Yeah. And you laid yours short just on the green, which was a prime spot, and then we just couldn't put it in the hole for whatever reason. We both hit really bad putts there.
Yeah, thankfully that I did not quite hit that one hard enough, and it did just bounce on, which, because yours obviously catching that swale wasn't beneficial for us. But that putt was fast, man. That was, for being not too tough of a putt, it was quick. Yeah. And I know you ran yours a little bit by, and that kind of scared me, so I didn't really put an aggressive stroke on it, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's hard to be aggressive with that putt because it was a quick putt, but we definitely should have had a better putt on it.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that kind of was a little discouraging for me, at least, because then it kind of continued into the next hole on 16. We kind of botched around that hole a little bit. I know I lost my ball off the tee, and then
I was left side of just in the rough, and just, we were 140 yards out, kind of into the wind, and the pin was on the right back, and I hit a little fluffy out of there, and it didn't go. Sometimes out of the rough it shoots out, and this one kind of came out flat, and it didn't go anywhere, and I think you put yours in the bunker.
Yep.
And then we had a 30-foot putt, which probably not going to make.
No.
And
no,
we didn't,
but thankfully two putted. But then you picked it back up on the next hole, which we talked about, that par 3, depending on where it plays, really dictates the level of difficulty there. But shoot, from those blue tees, it was, what was it, like 150-ish? I mean, we both hit wedge, didn't we?
I thought 130. Didn't you shoot it at 137 or 138?
Yeah, good memory. 137, you're right, because we both hit pitching wedge down in there, and you hit yours pretty close, which was nice.
It was interesting because our group, the other group that we played with, was playing really well also. So it was kind of fun to feed off each other a little bit here and there. But they also hit really good shots on that hole too. Mm-hmm. So we kind of took into account what they did. And I think I put mine 6 feet and they were probably 4.5 or 5. So it was good to play some good golf with them, or watch other people play good golf.
Yeah, and that was one of the holes. That's a cool one to talk about, because that was, you made a solo birdie there. And that was birdie on your own. You hit the shot, you hit the putt, and knocked down the two. And that was kind of the trend of the day. I felt like you had a few solo birdies, I had a few solo birdies, and then we just kind of ham and egged it in between, and just again just kind of kept the ball rolling as best as we could. But again, after the birdie on 17, we parred 18, which was kind of a drag after being in really good position off the tee and then not hitting it very close to the hole. And but even still, I mean, you almost made it, and then I left it dead center short by about 2 inches, and that was a
seemed to be the story of the day for us.
Yeah.
For the most part, we putted fine. Mm-hmm. It just didn't make any putts over 15 feet. I don't think we made any of them, but we were sniffing the hole most of the time.
Yeah, I feel like that was probably right, because and that even though good shots and good putts, it when you don't see the putt drop, it just kind of takes the wind out of your sail a little bit anyway. But we made the turn at 4 under, and in the podcast leading up to the event, I was hoping to make it at 6. That was kind of what our goal was. I thought if we made the turn at 6 under, we would be in good position. But we turned at 4. But again, that was, I don't know if you looked at the 9-hole scores, but 4 under was the best anybody did. I think there were a handful of other people that shot 4 under on the back nine, but nobody went lower than that. So
it's tough. It's tough to score on that back nine.
It is. It's a tough nine. So 4 under actually turned out to be good. I mean, it was plenty good. But then making the turn to 1, man, I felt like that was fun, because this is where we talked about making birdies. And hole 1 is where it all begins. That hole was 453 yards. Granted, it is a dogleg. It's a par 5. And do you want to tell everybody how far we had into the green after your tee shot?
We had 113 yards, I think.
We had 100.
What we had. Yeah, I'm not counting, though, but I think that's what it was.
It was 113 yards. And I... But you got that trajectory. You hit the ball off the tee. You hit it low enough where, I mean, thankfully the course had dried out and played it firm and fast enough where you squeezed one right up the right side just between the 150 stake and the bunker, and it took a bounce.
It took a big bounce.
And to get up there and see 113 yards into a par 5, I mean, that's a green light, even with that front right hole location, which was tough. A difficult hole location. But when you're, again, flipping wedges in there, it makes it much more accessible. And I wish we could report that we capitalized on that opportunity. However,
we didn't hit bad shots in. I mean, my wedge was 12 feet. Yours could have been really close, but it spun off the front of the green back into the rough. And just once again, didn't make a putt. Like, we both were very, very close on that putt.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't want to fall.
Yep, yeah, you hit a good shot in there. A nice high ball that kind of just fell left of the flagstick, but gave us a good opportunity. And then my ball flight was a little lower with a little more spin. Man, it took one hop on that front edge and then zipped back off into the rough, which was a real drag because that was all over the stick.
Yep.
But birdie there again. Hole 2, we again, I don't know about you, but I kind of felt like I personally lost a little focus on 2 after not making eagle on 1.
I think our strategy was fine. It just, we didn't execute. So I hit an iron off the tee to try and lay up to about the 150-ish is where we wanted to be, a little bit further than that maybe.
Yeah.
And I yanked it a little bit left. It was a foot off the fairway. So we still had a good look.
Yeah.
And kind of the strategy, like we talked about last podcast, why lay up 2 on top of each other? And so we decided to have Garrett hit driver, and I thought he smoked a drive. Like, you hit a really good drive there. Perfect ball flight, right to left. We just cut off a little bit too much of that corner. Didn't realize that pond actually came out as far as it did.
Yeah. I don't – usually we talked about that, because usually we play the black tees, and so the landing zones are a little bit different, but you're right. I mean, there's no sense in putting an iron on top of your iron. If you're in play and you're 150 yards out, I figured you can scramble, might as well try and rip one. And we did, but ended up pulling it a little bit more than I needed to, and ended up getting in the pond there on the left side. So, but then for both of us to miss the green from 143 yards or something ridiculous, we both missed the green. And I just felt like for me, it was kind of a little bit of just a poor judgment call and on the club selection. And I kind of lost a little focus on that one.
Yeah.
So we scrambled for par, thankfully. We
hit 2 really not good shots there at all. I yanked mine left again into the rough. You were just over that bunker that we talked about, and we thought you were actually on the green until we drove up and realized you were just covered that bunker. But it made for an awkward chip because it was a downhill slope kind of into a front right pin. And so spinning it a little bit or however you want to play that chip shot was not easy.
No, and that's why even after those chip shots...
That's 6-7 feet.
Yeah, I appreciate you making that 6 or 7 footer because I didn't want to have to hit that putt. But we redeemed ourselves on the next hole, the par 3 third, which we talked about. You mentioned that you had a hole-in-one there years ago, and that was the site of your first hole-in-one. And I almost tried to duplicate.
Solo birdie.
Yeah, that was one of my solo birdies. You're right. That was kind of a cool hole. For some reason, that one just fit my eye. And we talked about a little bit about that hole. And thankfully, it was downwind a little bit. And we had, 165 to center,
178 to the stick.
Yeah, 178 to flag. And that was a shot for me after hitting some kind of tentative shots. I just tried to just jump on an 8-iron and throw it all the way back there, just as high as I could. Because with that back hole location, you didn't want to miss long. And you were in the middle of the green, so we already had a good enough look. But I didn't want to ease off one, so I thought jumping on one and throwing it up there with a high draw would be the club, and it turned out to work out really well. And so to have a 3-footer for birdie was a nice way to bounce back off a struggle kind of on two. But then we kind of picked right back up where the struggles left off on four, with neither of us hitting good tee shots, kind of flaring them out there to the right, and on a par five that you want to take advantage of, neither of us really put ourselves in position A.
No, we kind of got lucky to find yours. I think, were you? We were 248, but we were on the right side, and mine was 225, 230-ish. We had a downhill lie there, and we went with yours, which was a little bit longer. We were going to try and pump one to the green there, but it all started with the tee shot there. We just didn't give us a chance to actually advance the ball forward or attack a pin. We were playing defensive mode on that. Even your shot, what did you say you hit in there? A 5-iron? You were just going to try and...
just try and jump on one and catch a flyer out of that rough.
And maybe get to the green. But it wasn't anything we could attack, where we probably should have been a little bit further forward ahead. And in the fairway would have been nice, but it didn't work out.
Yeah, it was an okay... that right side was an okay angle, but I mean, obviously your downhill, side hill lie wasn't beneficial.
No,
we didn't
want to
take that, so... but we made birdie anyway. That was good. But then again, the very next hole, we go from making birdie to kind of stalling a little bit. And again, we get to, what is that, six? No, five.
Five, middle of the fairway.
Middle of the fairway, wedge in hand, and we end up with a 30-footer.
Yeah.
Best of the two of us was 30 feet from pin high. And so again, not a good birdie look.
But we almost made it.
We did almost make it. So
both of ours.
Yeah, that's right. So that was close. And then... six, that was your solo birdie.
It was another solo birdie. Yeah, just once again, strategy, hit iron off the tee, get one in play. It's a short, is it, what, 330 maybe?
If that. I think for the blue tees, it was like 309 on the card, 310.
So it was a little bit different. Last pod we talked about how that chute we thought was so narrow, but when you play from the blues, it's actually pretty forgiving, I thought.
Yeah.
But I just pumped a 5-iron out there, and we were 125-ish or something like that, roughly. Is that what we were? A little bit less than that?
A little bit less than that.
But it turned out fine.
Yeah. And that actually played into our favor because with that back hole location, and we talked a little bit about that. If the pin's up front, it's okay to kind of run and gun and try and hit driver up greenside. But we got to watch firsthand our playing partners. They hit driver, and they took that tee shot, and they had, 40 yards maybe, because it was into the wind, so it did kind of come up a little bit shorter than we expected. But they didn't make birdie, because that back hole location is a darn near impossible pitch shot, because one guy tried to bump it up the hill, and it didn't make it to the top, and it rolled back, and then the other guy tried flying it up top, and it caught the little bit of the downslope on the other side and just bounced off onto the back fringe. So neither of them were able to capitalize on a long drive. So you giving yourself a full wedge to knock in there.
Nice. Yeah, and the guys that we played with, one of the guys could really spin the ball too.
Yeah.
And even though he was only 40 or 50 yards out, he clipped it and it wouldn't spin. It landed on the top of that mound and kicked all the way to the back. And everything else, he had been spinning like crazy for most of the day.
Yeah.
So it's just a tough shot. So I feel like we played it right.
Yep, I think so. And we made the birdies. So. But then, to nobody's surprise, we parred the next hole after that par three, which was a tough hole location, even though we were middle of the green and had a good look at it from probably, 18 feet, 15, 18 feet? Nothing crazy.
but just a tough hole location. And eight's where we, this is kind of cool because this is what we were talking about with that Golf Genius app and having the transparency of seeing, are we a couple ahead, are we a couple behind? And at that time, we're sitting at 8 under par and the leaders were at 10. And so we knew we had to get two birdies or a birdie and an eagle to kind of come down the stretch and threaten. And eight, we got lucky, right?
Really lucky. That was close. Played it way back there. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were on the back tee, and like you said, some of the strategy that we had with it was like, it's not gonna work to be 200 yards out.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time I was feeling comfortable with my driver, so I hit driver and I aimed at the left bunker, and it stayed right on the left bunker the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're familiar with that, there's a cart path right by it, and it kind of scooted just over the cart path and almost in the hazard, but we found it and we could play.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know that on the tee, though. We were a little bit worried, so you hit iron.
Mm-hmm.
And it went a little bit to the right. It was safe, good angle in, yeah. But
178 yards.
Yeah.
So a long ways out.
And we ended up finding mine, which was 103
yards.
So it played vastly different. Just by doing that, we had a terrible lie though. Like the stance was awkward. You ended up hitting a great shot in there.
Yeah, that was that ball. Like, what is it? Gosh, there was what, like 4 feet between the edge of that ditch and the cart path.
There.
So we had next to no room, and it was kind of a crunchy little wedge shot where the grass is dried out a little bit, and your ball's
above your feet.
Definitely above your feet by a good few inches. And trying to flip wedges, it was to a back left hole location over that grass bunker that kind of guards that front left
and
side.
And not fall in the creek.
That's right, and nobody wants to go, even though it was hot as blazes, so a little dip in that creek might have felt pretty good. But yeah, good wedge shot there, and then I got kind of lucky because I hit that putt, and I didn't think it was getting to the hole, and somehow fell in uphill, essentially. Kind of caught that low lip and dropped in the kind of side door for us, which was good. I mean, squeezing a birdie out of that after being kind of uncertain with whether or not we'd have a second shot that we could take advantage of was huge.
It was.
And then we stalled.
Then we stalled again.
And kind of story of the day. I mean, we get to 9, our last hole, par 5, and we're at 9 under par, and we know at least 11 could give us a good chance. And we just didn't do it. Neither of us did what we needed to kind of off the tee, and then neither of us did what we needed to on the second shot. And even though we ended up with probably a 8-footer, 10-footer for birdie, just a tricky putt.
It just kind of summed up our day a little bit. So if you're not familiar with that hole, there's two trees right in the middle, and it probably is more of a layup. Two trees right in the middle, water on the right, hazard, like long grass on the left, and we wanted to be aggressive. And like I said, I've been hitting my driver pretty good up to that point. So I was going to hit driver first, and I yanked it. And it ended up being safe. It was on number one, which we would have had a potential angle in, and not the angle that you want, but we found the ball. We were safe. And then you hit a great 5-iron out there, but we were ways out. We were 270, 275-ish.
Yeah, and in hindsight, I almost, knowing that we needed to make eagle to get to 11 or at least birdie to get to 10, that would have been, I kind of wish we would have played it a little differently. I wish we would have considered your shot more, even though it wasn't ideal from a directional standpoint. We probably would have been hitting maybe
a lot less club
instead of 3 woods that we were pulling from my ball. I played it too conservative off the tee. Just was too conservative, and we didn't consider your ball enough as an opportunity to at least get greenside to give us at least either a chip at eagle or at least a better birdie opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of messed that up and departed the 9th hole at the Meadows there, and it was kind of a drag. But we finished at 9 under. I know in the podcast before the event, I was extremely bold, and I was shooting for 13. And honestly, a group got to 12. It wasn't unachievable. I mean, it could have been done. And you said 10 or 11, which we came darn near close to, obviously. And after the first podcast went out, the Mitten Golf Tour had shot me a quick message and thought it was pretty cool that we were kind of taking bold predictions like that. And he had guessed 9 under. He thought 9 under would be a good number to get the win. And we ended up finishing there, but with one team finishing at 10 and then another team at 12, we ended up tied for third. And still super fun, though.
Yeah, they host a great tournament. I thought they did a very good job. I mean, it was, how many teams did they have? 64 teams?
64 teams, 128 guys.
So it was packed, and it moved along for the most part until about the last hole. But otherwise, it moved along very, very well, and it was run well, and couldn't have been more happy with how it went.
No, I thought it was for my first Mitten Golf Tour event, and I thought it was a blast. It was just a fun way to get out and play competitive golf without having all the pressure of playing your own ball and making a cut to play the next round and stuff like that. So it was super cool to get out there and have 18 holes and just go for it. 2-minute scramble, kind of a shootout type environment. And it was a ton of fun. And I don't know about you, but I'm definitely looking to play in another one.
Yeah, I want to, as long as, you know, scheduling stuff works out. He gave us a sheet at the end, a couple of the places that they're going to play. So I know we're going to try and work with our schedules and make sure we can do that. They look like really fun events coming up. So
yeah.
I'd be excited to.
Yeah, cool events. And again, just playing great courses. Being able to get out there and, like, the Meadows is great. So that was fun to get out there on Sunday. And then they had an upcoming event in September at Pilgrim's Run that we kind of have our eye on as a potential. But I kind of think that the one at Quail Ridge in August is going to be a good one for us. We talked a little bit about that yesterday, and I think we'll shoot to enter that one.
Yeah.
I mean, have you played Quail before?
Back in high school. That's so, a really, really long time.
So 2 decades ago.
Yes, exactly.
Not quite 2 decades ago. So Quail Ridge will probably be the next event that we play in on the Mitten Golf Tour, because, again, having such a good time and having such a good experience with the event and with the people that played, we're obviously stoked to get back out there and do it again. So awesome. Looking forward to that. And we'll get out there and do another pre-cap, play the event, do another recap. So we'll give you guys something to look forward to in August, hopefully. But until then, man, are you playing any more golf? Are you just getting back to league?
Just league. Wednesdays, that'll be about it. I'm sure 4th of July is coming up. I'm sure a bunch of my friends will want to get together and do something, whether that's play a local course around here or maybe travel a little bit to something.
Nice.
We'll see.
Nice.
You? Are you going to golf?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if this weekend, obviously, I mean, you guys all know here in West Michigan, it's 95 degrees every day this week, so that's kind of a drag, and it's deterring me from getting out to play golf. I did practice a little bit on lunch today, which was nice, but my next event, I'm going to be playing in the Kent County Am out at Kauffman next weekend. So not this weekend, obviously, with the holiday, but the following weekend. So I'll probably put out a podcast and talk about Kauffman. It's my home course, one that I haven't profiled yet for you guys. And the Kent County Am is an awesome event. They've had to do a few things to kind of make it more COVID friendly under the circumstances. So they're playing with a bit of a reduced field this year, but it's still, I stopped out there today and the practice green is already pure. I know they'll get those fast for that. And, you know, man, if you want to dip your toes back in the competitive scene, there's still some spots available.
That's actually the last tournament that I played in when I was 19.
Is it really? The
Kent
County Am?
Yeah, I retired after that one.
Okay.
They do a really good job there. The course is always in great condition. I didn't prepare enough for it, and I don't play competitive golf like I should. And so I bowed out after that one.
It's understandable. I mean, it's a different animal and a different game, but it was cool to get you back out there on the Mitten Tour and get the competitive juices flowing again. Yeah. So I'll be stoked to get back out there with you at Quail, hopefully. And again, thanks for partnering up with me. Yeah, I appreciate that. And thanks for jumping on the podcast to do a little recap for us. And you're not fired. So
I'm going to say, hopefully it's not my last time, but
you're not fired yet. So we'll be back. We'll have Paul back on the pod and we'll have a good time. And until then, we'll jump on and talk a little bit more about Grand Rapids and Kauffman and the Kent County Am coming up, but we'll do that later this week. So thanks again for tuning in and being a part of the Michigan Golf Podcast. And until next time, guys.
All right. Thank you.